We're going to try something a little different in today's show. We have two guests. Normally it's just me and someone else, but today we have Aaron and Scott, Dr. Scott. We want to talk about community. Dr. Scott recently was at a fish show, and it sort of tickled his fancy to talk about community and what that's like to be part of a group of people that's larger than you. We're going to go through all that stuff and just see where we stand on it. Hope you join us. I think it's a good conversation. So let's get after it.
Welcome to the Warrior Mindset Podcast. We're your guide as you make your way through life, getting better 1% every day. We believe that life is lived and true victory won through adversity. Nothing easy is ever worth it. We believe in the warrior ethos and support those that choose to walk that path.
Yeah, so Scott, man, you sent me this text after being embedded.
I like that. It sounds like
CNN reporter.
Yeah, it sounds like
Wolf Blitzer.
He's like Jane Goodall studying the fish.
That's
the fish concert goers. After being embedded with Fish Nation, I had this thought about community and how much our lives depend on the communities we choose and the ones that accept or reject us. Right.
Right.
So what made you
it was one of my kids is a fish guy, and he's been to over 100 shows.
Wow.
It's like anything else with your kids, you know,
yeah,
if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. The Allman Brothers are about as far as I got with jam bands or widespread, that kind of thing. But anyway, that's his deal. It's where he met his wife. I mean, all this stuff. And so he'd been wanting me to come and go to a show. It was the first time they'd played indoors in Nashville.
Okay.
So I went up, and you know, I'd always heard about this whole like community that they have around these shows, and got up there, and it was the first time that in I don't know how long that I felt just so totally unstressed, and not because of drugs, with, you know, where it just seemed like everybody was there for the same reason, which was to have a good time and be with people who, you know, had the same kind of deal that they had. I mean, everybody around you introduces themselves, tell you where they're from. It was so many more 40-year-old people that I thought were going to, you know, wasn't like the Grateful Dead crowd that I had been to at Bonnaroo before, you know, doing the worm and taking ibuprofen. But this was such a totally different kind of crowd. And it was just a sense of peace that came over me in this crowd with 22,000 people that were there for basically the same reason. It just kind of struck a chord that I hadn't felt like this in so long.
Wow.
with a group of people, especially being introduced to them. It was almost like that first time you go into a, you know, speaking from personal experience, it's almost like that time you go into a recovery meeting, and gosh, you finally think, well, there's some people there who I finally found some people who think like me.
So fish people are your people.
Well,
let's be clear.
I didn't realize fish.
Right.
I didn't realize they were as close to my demographic as I.
Oh, okay.
As you know,
right.
I had always rejected them as it's just going to see a bunch of guys playing the same stuff for 30 years,
right.
And
right.
It turned out to be that was kind of not central to the whole thing.
It wasn't necessarily the music.
It was the light show too.
Oh,
yeah. I'll splice in the video you sent me.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it was just the whole sense of here we are again. I mean, they went for 3 nights, and because gosh, they introduced, I can't believe how many people I got introduced to. It's like, they all know each other, even though there's 20,000 of them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it was just really impressive. I was, you know, my hat's off to them for able to build a business around that. But still, the people that pay their money and go to see them and buy whatever's being sold in the parking lot.
But the point here is that those people
and you were kind of a part of it, they identify as what a fish
head.
They call them fish heads.
Yeah.
I mean, what do Widespread Panic fans call themselves?
Panickers? I don't know.
I don't know, because I know Grateful Dead people call themselves deadheads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is the Insane Clown Posse? Juggalos?
Yeah.
That's a different community.
That's a different vibe.
Do not attack this show. Juggalos. But you get my point. Like, they're using that, and it defines who they are, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
That's fascinating that many people... And there's many, many more. I mean, that were that one show. That was just that one show that was in Nashville.
That was 20,000 people,
yeah.
Three nights.
It's insane.
20,000 each night.
But they were probably, like, the thing with jam band shows is, like, they're there three nights, and guess what? So are those same people.
Yeah, I bet half of them, at least.
Yeah. So, you know, no wonder they kind of know each other, because they don't even have to travel in order to go to the same show and see the same people.
Right.
They're just, you know, there are three nights in a row.
Well, like the couple behind me was a girl was a lawyer. Her husband, they're from Long Island. All they wanted to do is talk about the Murdaughs.
And you're from South Carolina. You know him?
Well, they're from Long Island. They wanted to talk about the guy up there. The
serial killer?
Yeah.
Right. Did we come down here?
Speaking of communities, the true crime community.
Oh, yeah.
Is a giant thing.
Yeah.
My wife is deep into this.
My wife is deep into this as well.
So, this is a sidebar.
Uh-huh.
And I was confronted with this the other day where my wife said, and then I'll ask you guys, you probably know where I'm going with this, but how many times in a day or a week do you think of the Roman Empire? Have you heard this one?
I have not.
You haven't. So, there's a thing where you ask men or young men or whatever, how many times during the day or the week do you think of the Roman Empire? And she was asking us that, and I was like, probably daily. And, you know, my son was like, yeah, probably every day. And she's like, how? Like, and his answer was like, well, it just kind of happens.
Yeah, I still don't.
But I went there because of the true crime, and it seems like that's largely, like, females.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of that, you know, world. I mean, I don't get it, but they do definitely have things in common. They have, you know, things they can talk about. You know, you could go out to dinner with, you know, your friend and his wife or whatever, and they will probably wind up talking about that sort of thing. I mean, I've seen it happen.
Well, statistically, most serial killers are male, and then mm-hmm. most victims are female. So maybe
it is a correlation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also, does she get like this? Like, does she ever look at you and go, you know, if you ever do anything bad?
No, but
I know exactly how to get away with it.
It's usually the other way around. It's like, let me know if I'm making you mad,
because yeah.
I don't want to disappear.
Yeah, that's an interesting, but I have seen like the memes that community does in there, and even kind of being on the sideline of it, because like, you know, if what is it, Forensic Files is on, you know, she's watched.
Yeah.
Every single episode of them, like, I've heard half of them or whatever, and it's kind of
they've got
an interesting community.
The creepy moments for me is whenever she's watching and she's like critiquing the killers, like, oh, you're totally gonna get caught.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how you do it. I'm like, what the?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean not how you do it?
Yeah, but she's part of that community, man, and they have their own ways of doing things, and some of those communities have actually, if I remember correctly, like the maybe this is less serial killer, but the don't fuck with cats.
Well, that's one.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, they actually work together to figure out what happened and how to hunt down a killer. And
it's a Netflix documentary, right? Yeah, I was trying to remember what that was. Yeah, that's an interesting community. But so you got to experience your son's
mm-hmm.
introduction for you into the fish world.
Right.
PH fish, not the. I'm sure there's an aquarium community somewhere.
Those are other fish heads.
What communities have you been a part of? I mean,
well, when you're the last kid taken when you're in elementary school,
last kid taken where?
The last kid taken to play basketball.
Oh, we were talking about serial killers. So I was like,
I mean, it's like
he's still here.
Your first, your first exposure to the community is when you want to be a part of this.
Right.
You know, and then they choose you last.
Right.
And so it's off to a bad start.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. And you don't have the wherewithal to ask anything about mom, what's going on here, or mom, tell me what to do next.
Right.
And it's not, maybe don't play basketball. And, you know, you kind of go through life like that, trying to pick and choose with the ones who, people have what you want.
Yes, that's true.
And you're, and of course we're all judging their outside, thinking that's what it is inside. And so it's just one of those existential type questions that we can really screw up with, or you can end up with the fish folks.
Yeah.
Well, before you get into which communities you've been in, maybe take that and look at, you said that, you know, before you went to this concert, that you looked at fish heads a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
What way was that? And what do you think changed after being, even in a very small amount of time, part of their community?
Well, I just figured that it was the deadheads that couldn't get their fix anymore because, you know, Jerry's a junkie and he died.
Yeah.
And so I just figured they had moved on to fish, and then, you know,
me too.
And so you knew fish kind of peripherally because one of them's from Hilton Head, the keyboard player. And so it just, I just kind of wrote it all off as a bunch of aging people that are still trying to hold on to their tie-dyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out to be a totally different crowd, at least to what the way I was exposed to it. It was like, it was a lot younger. It was a lot hipper. It seemed to me that it was more about community and the light show than it was about what they're playing. Of course, you know, I've got people around me telling me that the, you know, lights are going white, you know, and they've got the whole show down. But it was the whole sense of that we're here for this night for each other and not necessarily for the four guys on the stage, which was just kind of neat.
Yeah. I'd have to agree. I've always kind of those them and like Widespread. I'd kind of written them off as like, you know, Grateful Dead Act Two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. String Cheese Incident as well.
I've heard the name from some of my friends that are into Fish and Widespread.
And then well, even like Avett Brothers now and everything with a younger crowd. And
I've tried, there's a couple, you know, King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. Is a big one now.
Yeah.
So much so that I even saw a t-shirt that said Lizard Lizard and the Lizard Lizard. So they're even
that's a cool name.
So they're that
pretty. Doesn't get much cooler than that name.
The Psychedelic Porn Crumpets were another one of the new hot ones.
Okay.
Supposedly the Trey Anastasio's favorite band right now.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, it's guys going out there who can play for 20 minutes and till their fingers bleed.
Right.
Everybody just kind of, you know, on the same kind of high.
What about you, Aaron? I mean, you we talk about your military life,
and
second life, and all kinds of things. I mean,
so
what sort of communities have you been plugged into?
Well, that's Well, I always think about the first communities, you know, as far as like family first, then friends, and you know, like those are communities, and then you have pockets of communities within your friends and things like that. Work community, you know, like when and I'm not wearing, like this is probably the first week that I haven't really worn my, you know, airborne hat in a while and everything, and you know, just wearing that hat around, like especially, you know, at an event or something like that. Like every once in a while, you know, get a AA, you know, or airborne or something like that. And like half the, I was at the state fair last week with my, one of my daughters and
tons of people.
And like, but, you know, and every, I don't know, like every hour or so, somebody walked past me and go, you know, airborne and, you know, and there's a community there that, you know, if they were part of that community, then it's just like, you know, you know, and I'd probably say probably with like NA as well or A, like, you know, you've been one way or another, either Fox you've been through shit. Yeah. You've been through shit together or you've been through shit that other people can associate with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I can associate with some of the things that, you know, my friends have gone through who have, you know, actually, you know, dealt with real stuff.
Sure.
So, you know, but But as far as the suck factor, you know, just taking it from that end, you know, like, in fact, I was at a conference the other day, and I didn't have my hat on, but I had it on my backpack, and the guy was like, "Hey, I was there too." You know, what's, you know, and I was first 504, he was second 504. You know, so like, it's sometimes the shit that you've gone through, you know, and somebody can associate with that. And so, but that's even different than maybe even like being in person together and meeting all those people that, you know, but, you know, like a fish head here in South Carolina can associate with a fish head, you know, internationally, because they've had similar experiences, maybe not going through shit, but, you know, similar experiences. And that's really cool that you can actually connect on something, you know, whether, I mean, like we've always connected on music, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and actually there are some times where I'm running and I run into a lot of Foo Fighters. And speaking of like, you know, like it's the same fucking thing as far as I'm concerned. You know, Grateful Dead, Nirvana, Foo Fighters, Fish Heads or Fish, you know, like I mean, it's different bands obviously, but I look at those two kind of the same way. Like
I could see it.
My first Foo Fighters concert, there were like all these old people. I thought they were old at the time. You know, the 50-year-olds wearing the Nirvana t-shirts at, you know, at a Foo Fighters concert. It's like 20 years ago. And now, you know, anyway, when I'm running, sometimes I actually think about you. When I'm listening to Foo Fighters, because every once in a while, what's the Crow, the old Crow, what the hell is the name of the band that they did, that had like Dave Grohl, but it had like a couple,
Vultures,
of Stinking Vultures,
something like that.
Yeah.
It was Grohl and Homing and,
yeah,
the guy from The Kills and John Paul Jones.
Yes, yes. So sometimes those will come on, and then I think about you. And
them
so
Crooked Vultures.
Them Crooked Vultures.
Because we associated on music things. And actually, every once in a while, like I'll turn on baseball, and I'll actually think of you because we've gone to baseball games together after conferences. And so, like, you know, like we... You know, we've had those small experiences together while you've had totally different experiences in music world and totally different spirits in baseball world. But, you know, there are things that you and I can associate on besides also, you know, traveling and doing conferences together. You know, that I think that it's really cool because, you know, and then also, you know, shopping in Publix together as well. Because we always see each other at Publix. Okay. Yeah. Even when he comes in as the masked bandit one time when he had COVID. But anyway,
I'm not staying.
but I think that there are sometimes those, you know, the different types of communities that are,
yeah,
that are, you know, very central based to like,
right,
we do these things together. And then there are the communities that are like, you know, hey, you're one of us because we went through kind of the same thing. And, you know, those are both helpful for sometimes getting through life.
It's like the core community, which I still go back to the recovery community because it was such a life-changing experience to be like the foxhole buddy.
Yeah.
You didn't realize that there was anybody else in the world who was in as much pain as you are.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you find out on a given day, there'll be 60 of them at Shandon United Methodist Church where you can all sit in there and relate because nobody got in here because their DVDs were overdue at Blockbuster. You all got in there because you went through some awful pain and you're probably broken when you got in there.
Yeah.
And you got to get put back together.
Mm.
And there's just so much power in that, that why wouldn't you want to keep going back and seeing each other just to be reminded of it? Play that tape all the way through.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a thing, right? I mean, I imagine military is such a huge community that there's like subsets of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I imagine there's the same thing in recovery too. Like there's subsets of people that sort of are more open to sharing with each other. Maybe the,
That's 400 meetings in Columbia. Yeah. So you got everything from A to Z as far as the right. type of meeting.
Right.
And when you find one that really speaks to you, it's just, it's wonderful that you can have that many people in there all speaking basically the same language.
Yeah.
And I used to own a couple of bars. So, I always start off by thanking everybody for their service.
I love the way you look at the world, man.
So true.
What about you, man? What about your military career? What sort of slices have you experienced?
As far as community? Sure,
positive and negative.
Okay. So back to family and friends. My military family, their family. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, they're the stupid little brothers sometimes, but yeah, they're family. I love them. first of all, the good thing is on that level, I've got guys that, I won't see physically for years, and we get back together and, we're continuing the same conversation. Mm. Sometimes maybe on a little bit better, but that's easy. And then, as far as good too, if I go into the VA hospital or something like that, I see people, that are worse off than me usually, that, I can associate with, and even on shitty days walking in there, that there are people that have served and are in pain, but they're really fucking nice. I've seen those good things. I've seen them out in the world. I've also seen the kind of bad side of communities as well, to where in any community there's going to be a subsection that aren't the nicest in the world. And
they've learned how to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Or they're and then we've talked about before, you said I'm not a fence sitter, but as far as I do my best to look and see, to be objective when I'm, listening to people on, let's say, both sides of the aisle. And those are different communities as well, right? Unfortunately, there's only two, it seems like. and then subsections of the two that, you have the... Anyway.
Yeah.
But I have seen that, in the military too, of sometimes when you go through that shit that you are a little more intolerant to, and I've acted like this towards people as well, you're intolerant to the people that, are not like you.
Yeah.
And, or don't think the way that you do. And so I've seen that on the military side, probably a little bit more from that community, than I've seen it from, the web design community, or the open source community or something like that. So,
but it's such a real thing as far as the whole idea that we just go through life just condemning people that we have no idea what they're really like. And the only reason we do it is because we get some kind of dopamine rush out of the fact that we're going to build ourselves up by putting them down.
Yeah.
And, everything wrong in my life is due to dot, 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 and dot. Yeah. And the only way to get out of that is realize that that's what you're doing. And if you silo yourself in the wrong community, then you're never going to get that, self-realization that maybe this is not the best thing to be doing.
Yeah, but you don't know that you're in the wrong community because, again, you have that association with people who've, again, just like we were saying with military or NA, they feel the kinship because of they've gone through some of the same things. Whether, and what that leads to as far as their way of thinking is a whole other thing. I guess that's the part that I'm trying to look at objectively is I think, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's political or not. I think that those, me personally, I think that whoever this is they're a bunch of idiots. However, they came together because of a reason that brought them into a community, and because they felt the same way about some things, and which is, you know, like, I don't understand it, but they apparently do. And so, you know, those are the things that I try to look for and say, you know, how do you bridge that, you know, with different communities, because they're certainly not willing to. And so, you know, yeah, that's what I mean about the intolerance. And it's not just military sometimes, but there are very tolerant military people as well. So, but yeah, sometimes when you've been, go back to the, you know, the kid last picked for basketball, like, then if all the kids last picked for basketball got together and they're in this community and they all hate the people that are always picked, you know, and then they do something again, you know, like, I kind of feel like the brothership or the kinship or the sistership or whatever of community is, again, built on those things that bring them together. And it could be a bad thing.
It can.
Yeah.
Like this, everybody's not the Stranger Thing kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's right. Like,
they're not all playing D&D on a Saturday night.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, you're fine. I was going to say, we're talking about the bad things. I think it's a good time to talk about the internet. Because we're talking about in-person communities.
Yeah.
How many, or have you ever been part of an online community? You know, something that draws you in. I mean, I certainly have. I don't know about you guys.
Luckily for me, being a boomer.
you don't use the internet.
Wait a minute. Are you on Facebook? Because that's a boomer community for sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't trust anybody on it.
Smart.
I think they're always trying to seduce me.
They are.
You're right.
But you're talking about that. You're talking about how you're getting whatever this thing is that you need, this validation, right, from being a part of this community. And it can be negative, right? It doesn't always equal, like, emotional support in a positive way.
Yeah.
Right. Like when you go to a meeting, it could be emotional support in making you hate something even more because everyone else hates the same thing.
Proud Boys.
Whatever it is. Kind of, yeah.
The Boogaloo Boys. I couldn't wear a Hawaiian shirt for a year.
Right. Yeah. I know.
Like, mine way in the back of the closet. Yeah. I got married in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. I mean, they ruined it.
And with tiki torches.
They ruined it. But that's my point. Like, I mean, being honest, have you ever sort of gotten swept up in something like on Facebook or whatever to where you kind of see things a certain way and then you finally realize, like, shit, it wasn't like that at all. You know what I mean?
Probably less online because I have a certain amount of deafness and blindness to a lot of things online.
Right.
Yeah, my bullshit factor is so...
Yours just goes off.
Yeah. Like, and it could be like two people saying the exact opposite things, and I'll think they're both bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I definitely think that some online services like Facebook, whatever it is, you know, I'm going to use the algorithm, in quotes, because we all know, you know, it's not like a super secret society, you know, algorithm, whatever it might be, but they are just playing on our biases, and they are playing on this idea of creating community around something, right, to make us all feel a certain way.
Yep.
You know?
Fear will make you stay online a lot longer than satisfaction.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are definitely communities built around that.
Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, because we're all itself. A bunch of, you know, self-centered, fearful creatures trying to get through the day and
speak for yourself.
I mean, that's how I am.
I know. It's like I never knew what ADD was until I had kids, you know, was in the 80s. And so I just thought that I was self-centered and couldn't pay attention. So
you are.
There we go.
What's important here? There might be a reason.
Yeah. Well, and then when you get to college, they just hand you the amphetamine. So
yeah,
took care of that.
When you were in college, they did.
Yeah,
wow.
There used to be an amphetamine, a legitimate pharmaceutical factory in Colombia called Palmedico. All they made was dextroamphetamine.
He's a good guy to know.
Yeah, I, well, I know what he does in real life.
They were, when you come from, you know, Hayseed, North Carolina, and you come down here and you're sitting in somebody's fraternity house and they come up to you and say, hey, you need any beans? And it's like, wow.
Beans.
How much are these beans?
Magic beans.
They say like 35 cents a piece. Like, damn, y'all think a lot of you beans down here in South Carolina. And,
I'm still concept of what you're talking about.
Oh, right, the amphetamine. Yeah, you didn't have beans at 35.
No, I did not.
Well, they weren't even narcotics at the time.
Oh.
Yes, how far back we go.
It's scheduled as a narcotic now. Well, I mean, they used to put cocaine in Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
And Bayer, the aspirin people, invented heroin.
So. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So we also use this concept of community. We can kind of like, and let's be honest with ourselves, we kind of like wrap other people up in like community. We did it with the fish heads, mm-hmm. right? We sort of like
call them those people.
Yeah. And then kind of like assume they were a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, what I'm guilty of that. You guys guilty of that?
When you sure. assume
it's a shortcut.
Yeah, I think so. It's also kind of helpful though.
Yeah, but you're right, it is a shortcut because you can't process absolutely everything in every single, like, you know, how many communities are there in the world?
Yeah, bajillions.
Yeah.
Oh, let me give you an example.
That's of a technical number, by the way,
mm-hmm.
of how something can change though, because speaking about college, everybody, when I was in college, it was the Vietnam War, and everybody hated the military,
mm-hmm.
mainly because there was a draft, and we didn't want to go.
Right.
And so...
Self-centered. Go ahead.
You would...
Just kidding.
All the guys that were either in the National Guard or the guys that were over at the fort would all wear wigs during the week.
Mm.
I mean, and it was totally the norm.
Mm-hmm.
You would never think about walking... It just wouldn't have been cool to walk by... A military guy and say thank you for your service.
Yeah,
it just would not have been. And then it was the 180 degrees also for drugs. I mean, drugs were like the way that a whole generation was going to tell their parents just to fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as a matter of fact, that Bonnie Raitt even put on a cocaine legalization concert in the LA Coliseum once. I mean, it was
wow.
Everybody was that naive about drugs. And
fast forward 20 years later, she was really struggling with that cocaine
she
addiction.
Sure was.
Yeah.
In Columbia's out there.
Yeah. I've heard that story.
But yeah, I mean, so it can change, but mm-hmm. I don't know if that means it's a generational thing as far as people's outlook on certain groups or certain communities changing or what it is. But I've noticed that just with those two things being predominant in my lifetime. I guess it's the same way. I mean, you know, it's with first responders too.
Yeah.
I think so. 911 definitely put first responder. I don't want to say that put them on the map, but there was a change in like, you know, how people felt about people that, you know, are making, you know,
by 911,
just above
you mean,
poverty.
You mean September 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Just because we've never taken the shortcut thing, we've never taken the time to try and think of these people as anything else except my
public servant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
My stupid nephew who can't get a job, so now he's farming. I mean,
I hope he's not listening.
And if he is, he probably didn't understand a word that just happened. No, you're right. And then, I mean, actually, when I was in the military, you know, they put on wigs in Fort Bragg because it's a whole different thing, I think. But you know, that was their weekend thing. That's cool. No. Oh yeah. That was the 101 briefing when you went into Fort Bragg, which was, you may go out there and, some of the women are not women.
Okay.
Just saying. So,
right. Be aware of what you're doing,
but you know, that's a thing. That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a point to that, you know, that's a whole nother community.
It is.
Yeah. But yeah, I do wonder, like, you know, what you're right. One of the reasons why the military was so hated and called baby killers and everything was because that there was a fear that you could be drafted into that.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a draft now, you know, like we've gotten to a place to where,
well, I'm all for it now that I don't qualify.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll straighten them up.
I don't qualify either. So
no, I mean, yeah, that was how we got politicized. My 90% of my political thought,
yeah,
came from that section of, my life was
right.
You know, yeah, it's some people it sticks with them and some people it doesn't. And, you know,
I wonder what the more recent equivalent to that is. I feel like COVID really sort of neglected people from the communities that they were attached to. You know, it really broke a lot of that up. And I think maybe that's a lot of the struggle that a lot of people are having, that reconnecting. I mean, I know in the web design industry, mm-hmm, I mean, it pretty much crushed that whole in-person aspect of that industry.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that whole, like, just the part that I was exposed to.
I mean, it shut it down.
That front-end conference every year was done. Just wonderful. I mean, yeah. So I got that same feeling I had at the at the concert, yeah, was when I'd sit down behind the board at the front end or one of those type of things.
Yep.
Like, I'm with my people. I can relax.
Yeah. You play 80s cartoon intros. They'll just love it.
Those are awesome.
They still come up on my feed, and I'm like, oh, there's the Jetsons. Wish I didn't have to listen to that again.
But, I mean, it really did shut that down. I know several people that I had known through that community, you know, that really struggled hard. Mm-hmm. And some of them still kind of are, you know, with.
That's the weird thing, is that coming out of COVID, remember, everybody was going to go, man, we get that vaccine, we're going to be coming out of COVID, man, yeah, and people are going to be partying in the streets. Mm-hmm. We ain't never going to shut down again. And it's just, no. Mm-mm.
No. Mm. No. Well, and, you know, like.
Which says a lot about society itself, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm scared. I don't want to go out anymore.
Yeah, I think so.
What? I think. I wonder if it's the, not just the in-person, but like also the artist communities too. Like, we see this in the ballet right now, mm-hmm, with, like, there was a contraction of the number of kids that, you know, were involved with the ballet. And then going to a performance, you know, same thing with concerts as well. Like, you know, it's the conference that I was just at the other day, like, you know, I definitely saw it contract. And the conference organizer, you know, was, you know, they were thinking basically that this was the first year that it felt fairly normal compared, mm-hmm, to the trajectory that they were on, you know, 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
So there is some of that feels like it's getting better, but at the same time, you know, this isn't a political reference, and this isn't saying that, you know, that these people are wrong, but every single time I see somebody still wearing a mask, you know,
you make a judgment.
Well, you make a judgment, but also my heart kind of goes out, because I'm like, there's part of me that goes, like,
questioning,
like,
why
are you doing that?
Yeah.
You know, but the other part of me goes, they have a reason for doing, you know, whatever, mm-hmm, has come through their head, or, you know, maybe they need to. Because they, you know, I mean, like, you know, again, at a conference, at the state fair, when you're outside, I mean, like, you know, you can call them idiots if you want to, and if that's your thing. But the truth is like, they have some reason for what they're doing.
Yeah, there's something there.
And so, you know, but I've also, like, I was at a church.
Immunocompromised parent.
Right. I mean, right. Exactly. Yes. You don't know what it is. And, you know, I was at a church, for a friend of ours that passed away in his African American church, and they handed out a mask to every single person that walked in. And, you know, and I think because also that community was affected probably harder than the Caucasian community, mm-hmm, was. You know, so it's still a thing, and still something that, you know, is out there. And that's part of being a community too. And, you know, like, okay, I was trying to associate it back to community. There was a reason for all that. But you know, like, there are reasons why we do things, and they're in, you know, I wonder, do the mask people go, hey, you know, I like your masks.
any mask people?
Yeah,
but, if you're in the social medias, let us know.
But I think that you were, you know, you were saying what is the thing that for maybe like our generation that
yeah right
that, has starting to define that and you're right, you know, you're gonna have the COVID babies,
yeah,
first of all, just like you had, you know, baby boomers after World War II, but then you also have these pocket communities that have yeah. come that, like, you know, like my heart goes out to the people that are wearing masks because I feel like, you know, they're, you know, those are some people that maybe yeah. They're left behind.
Mm-hmm. Could yeah. be. You brought up mask people, so mm-hmm. I can bring up conspiracy theories. Oh. I'm not a conspiracy theory yeah. person, but it seems like we're talking about communities. And we dabbled a little bit in online communities and stuff like that. Yeah. It certainly seems like post-COVID, let's back up. So 9/11, mm-hmm. September 11th, there was a very much of a coming together right. after that, right? I mean, yeah. We were very patriotic and, you know, we were like helping each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, not long after that, you know, Facebook is a thing. We all know what a trash pile Facebook is. Mm-hmm. We have right. COVID. Now it certainly seems like there's a huge move towards like individualism, right? And self-centeredness, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to use the word narcissistic, but I know that's like an actual, like,
it's like calling somebody a Nazi now.
Psychosis or whatever. Yeah. yeah. I mean, it's like use the narcissist word. It's like using the Nazi word.
Yeah. Right? Well, moron used to be a diagnosis.
Right. It's true. Jerk. Yeah. But it just seems like, you know, any kind of time you look at like Instagram or YouTube or whatever, it's just people just talking about themselves, we're just so focused on ourselves, right? I mean.
And COVID didn't help that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's locked up.
Yeah.
And so you're only thinking about yourself yeah, at that point.
Exactly. I'm not much, but I'm all I think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like we're going down that route. How do, you know, like, where are the community? Where is the community? Like, I don't know that it's online. I don't think there's a place to look for it.
No, but I'm hopeful about it because, like you were saying, we seem to be coming out of it somewhat. We went to see David Sedaris at the Coger Center
yeah.
this week. Mm-hmm. And if there's anybody that's not going out,
it's, yeah, that guy's definitely
it's the NPR crowd.
Yeah.
That, you know, was at that community.
Yeah. They definitely wear masks to the grocery store.
Definitely wear a mask yes. and don't use, and everybody's in need of either hair or hair coloring. And so,
hey, you said it, man.
I'm in it. And so I sat there and had that very thought because we'd been talking about this was the fact that, you know, the Coger Center is just about full to see this guy in here. And it's yeah. mainly a community of people who would not have left the house to right. do this right. even a year ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Hmm. Well, that's an interesting way to pull them out. Let's have yeah. some David Sedaris shows.
But, you know, when you're, I kind of forgot about this because I've been so unattached from the web design world for a while, but something that I continue to think of when I was in was how the internet, like at the exact same time, it brought us all together more mm-hmm. because we could connect to people, you know, all across the globe, but it also isolated us more
mm-hmm.
because I sometimes think that, like, and I feel this way about TV too. Like, and I try to explain this to my kids and see if you two relate. When you were a kid, how many TV stations were there? TV back then? Fuck you. When you were a kid,
when we got one.
Okay. How many TV stations were there when you got a TV?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we had four.
In middle school, you have four or five. Yeah.
Four, and then we had five right. because Fox was the fifth yeah. one. So
He-Man after school.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yes. But that's the thing, Gene. Like, you say He-Man after school, and everybody our age goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Waking up early before school to watch Voltron?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Everybody.
Because there were only four channels.
Yeah.
And so you all, I mean, maybe it was a slightly different flavor, but you all got the same news.
Yeah.
You all got the same program, like, you know,
yeah, right.
Everybody knew everything that was going on.
And it was before algorithms.
Well, it was before.
Let's be real here.
Yes, exactly. But, you know,
my algorithm was Dan Rather.
Right. And his was Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, that's right.
But
and we still default to Walter Cronkite.
Yes. Like, yeah. Exactly.
He was the greatest.
Who do you think you are, Walter Cronkite?
He's the greatest.
I still think. So, but then you had cable TV that, like, you had all of these choices.
Right.
And then you add the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, your choices. I remember in marketing, too, it was, you know, the different ways that you market, and you market to, you know, to all, first of all, and then you funnel down into these small funnels and funnels and funnels until it's, you know, like, I think when I was going to school at USC, it was, there was a thought of now that, like, it you're not just marketing. I mean, you're marketing to one, basically. Mm-hmm. And everything had to be individualistic but you know, this is like the 90s, late 90s. And so that was even, you know, pre really internet. And then all of a sudden, you know, you break down and like you can market now. Facebook can market now, not just to the individual, but they can market to the different pieces of you,
right,
and interests of you, because they know, you know, they know
everything about you.
Right. And so that's how I feel like we've become a little more isolated, because we've almost gone down to where, like, you know, there's less commonality amongst us, whether it was right or wrong. I mean, again, with the four channels and, you know, you were fed a lot of bullshit or not, you know, on different things, but you pretty much had the same news and the same, you know, ways of thinking that came out of those, you know, four stations, three stations plus PBS. And but for the most part, like, there was a lot of commonality in the nation of maybe not the thinking, but, you know, what you were fed, and then how you dealt with that information is a whole nother thing. Now it's like you're fed so many different things.
Yeah.
And so it's so individual, like, you know, why not be a narcissist? Because that's what everything has pushed towards.
Yeah.
Marketing wise, business wise, you know, entertainment-wise, everything has pushed towards the individual, so you start losing your sense of community.
Yeah, and it's funny because you sort of start losing this sense of community by, like, gaining stronger sense of, like, you like being sort of self-centered, but it's through this other lens of, like, everyone's just like you. You know what I mean? So, like, we're the internet's like killing community by making everyone look the same, because that's all I see in my feed is other shit that is the same shit I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Right. So everyone thinks like I do, but then it just kills the community, and it drives that self-centered tendency. Well, it's kind of crazy.
It's happened with employment. I mean, you know, we used to hate our jobs, but nobody just threw everything on the ground and said, I quit.
Yeah,
and that's what everybody's faced with nowadays. Is I hear it from my kids. It's just, you can't. Some guy won't show up for 2 days and shows back up on day three and like nothing happened.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, that's been one thing that I don't know if it was happening before COVID or maybe, you know, like everything else, COVID just sped it up. But that seems to be one of the main problems with the whole, you know, I quit problem that everybody's got now in business.
Well, it's also people don't answer their fucking emails.
Well, I remember when we used to we used to have the fight over email. It's like, is email good or bad? You know,
email still works.
People aren't writing letters to each other anymore. I said, well, yeah, but you can get in touch with people. And so you had that fight. And so we worked into it gradually. That kind of base.
Well, now people just quit at random or just don't show up. And they, me and may have had somebody close to me. I refuse to ever acknowledge that I have a wife as far as like she said this, but she's like, why are people not responding back to a simple email? Like, yeah. I need to know this information. Otherwise, this will not happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. That's where we've gotten because like, you know, fuck it. We can do whatever we want.
You're talking about your son's owns a bookstore and I'm sure he's dealing with employees or whatever. I saw on, I forget where it was, Instagram, whatever. Somebody was telling a story about how they were interviewed and the interviewer was not, giving them empathy because they asked this person who was interviewing them for a job if they made arrangements for someone with time blindness. So they were like, time blindness. So I have trouble getting to places on time. And the interviewer was like, you have to show up to work on time. And they were like, but I have time blindness. He was like, you kind of need to be here on time.
There's a South Park about that.
And then was it? And then there's a South Park about everything.
Yeah, but this past season. Yeah.
And then she was like, and he just didn't call me back. And I don't know if I got the job or not. I was like, you didn't get the job. I promise. Like, you got to be to work on time. But the only way something like that happens is because that individual is being fed bullshit that warps reality constantly on the internet. You know, that's got to, like, you know, that's my professional opinion.
Yeah.
as an internet professional.
It's not a character defect. It's an actual diagnosis. I have time blindness.
No, you just got to wake up, you dumbass. You got to go to bed on time. You can't stay up all night and then sleep until noon and then miss your start time of your job, which was 9 a.m.
Get up 15 minutes early.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. So along the lines of the dark side,
Are there any good things in community?
Fixating on the dark side of the community and online communities. But have you heard of Tom Segura? Have you heard of Tom Segura, the comedian? Yeah. So apparently there's a part of his online followers, his online community. It's Where the Bodies, Garth Brooks. Have you heard of this? Yeah, have you heard of it? So he made a joke about Garth Brooks being a serial killer. That like if you follow the tour dates and anytime he's in the city, there's like an increase in like murder, whatever. And he's like, Garth Brooks is a serial killer. So it's like his fans will go on to Garth Brooks Facebook fan page or whatever and just flood it with like, where are the bodies, Garth?
Jesus.
Really, he doesn't. Him or his people don't know what it's about. I'm sure they, like, how can you not? But they'll close down the Facebook page and start up another one, and then they'll flood it full of, like, where are the bodies, Garth, and all
this
stuff.
He's building a huge honky-tonk on Broadway in Nashville. I walked by it other day. Yeah.
Well, careful, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Might drug you.
Because we were wondering what that alleyway was.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
But it's sort of like,
it's like Yellowstone. We're just going to throw them over the cliff, and they'll be gone.
But one of the topics here, empowerment and activism from community. I found that to be a very funny way to activate your community base.
That is.
You guys ever participate in anything like that? Negative or positive or just funny? I mean, there was a time in my life. This is before Facebook, but like the paper had a bulletin board, and I would argue with people for like hours on this bulletin boards about dumb shit.
Oh,
and online arguments are fun because it just like
we used to have to.
Devolves into like critiquing people's.
I was writing English. I was writing for Free Times, and they started that whole rave column.
Right.
That was like the first place that I ever saw where you could actually do something like that, or you can just go on there with no facts, no nothing. Here's the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Publish anything.
Kind of like a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Podcast, the internet.
Except the difference here is we're experts.
That's right.
Just so you know, anybody listening.
In what?
In the internet.
Okay. Yes.
Scott's not.
So a nuclear pulse, that would take care of. Would that take care of the internet? Probably not.
You're talking about like an EMP pulse?
EMP. Yeah.
I don't think it's nuclear.
Nuclear pulse would probably take care of all of us.
I think a nuclear pulse would take care of a lot of other people too.
Well, it's just not near me.
Same.
Yeah.
You guys, do you guys do any volunteering? Do you do anything like that?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. What kind of volunteering do you do?
I do my stuff with the recovery folks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you do?
Try to help people stay sober.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Basically, and that was one of the things that we were talking about how getting out of yourself.
Yeah.
The best way to get out of yourself is go and do something for somebody else. Yeah. And I'm the last person on earth to hear that coming out of my mouth. But it's such an old adage that goes back across all the religions and all type of cultures that the you know, Mother Teresa, that's how she got over that that awful depression that she had. Just get outside yourself and do something for somebody else. And that way you don't sit around and think about your own damn problems all the time. And you, and you actually feel good about yourself when you do it.
Yeah.
And we're so into not feeling good about ourselves that we just we go running and screaming every time somebody asks us to do anything good for somebody else. At least that's my experience with it.
How'd you fall into that? Was that,
it's part of the,
was that from, is it like they told you to do that and you did it and then you're like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. It's like, you know, there's like so many things that like, you know, if you do this, you'll feel better. And it's like, yeah, but I don't want to do it. So just try it. And then you go and try it and you actually feel better. And then since you've got 40 years of experience of not doing it, it's still something to overcome on a regular basis. It's, I feel better if I do that. But you know, you'd rather get home and turn on Yellowstone. I hate to say that twice. I hate that show.
You do?
I
haven't seen it. Gene yelled at me last time.
We could do another episode of, because you hate it, I like it, and you've never,
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Good, bad, and the ugly.
I don't like all of them though. I don't. I only like a certain part of it. But what about you, man?
You
shook your head. When I said that.
Yeah, but I wonder if some of it. I mean, I didn't want to say that what you're doing, there's got to be some self-satisfaction to it as well. And probably some, you know, like it means more to you because it's something that you've been through. And I'm sure that there are people there for you at some point that now you're there for other people. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, my volunteerism has probably been, you know, probably more again, self, you know, like it's with the ballet, but my kids involved with
the children's theater when we were did that years ago.
Children's theater on the board there. President of the board for the ballet. Was on a board for, you know, our school's educational fund, public school and everything. And you know, so, but it was, those were things that like our family was involved in, and so, you know, I wanted to make sure, you know, as best possible that it's a good community to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure.
And because if we're going to spend so much time and money, and if we're going to have our kids spend so much time there, then, you know, I hope it's a good community. Otherwise, why the hell are we doing it?
For sure.
So there, volunteerism, I think, you know.
Well, it took me a while to realize, like, I'd always thought of volunteering as like this selfless act, you know, and so therefore I was like, I don't want to do that.
No, I'm
like,
just about to say that it's, I don't think it's selfless.
No, I find it's more like I get more out of doing things for other people, like in terms of like coaching.
Yeah.
Like that's not like, you hear people say like, I do it because I want to help individuals, whatever. It's like bullshit, man.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to help someone and have them have an output, but you also get something from it.
I was like, you know, mine was Little League baseball and softball. Mm-hmm. I always had a Little League baseball in South Carolina, and it didn't take me 5 minutes to tell somebody that, you know, look what a good guy I am. I didn't get paid a nickel to put up with your ratty ass kids.
Yeah.
And so
you got threatened almost every time you're out there.
Exactly. Yeah. But
talk about toxic communities, Little League sports.
I finally had to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I believe it. It's saw it in soccer.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seen it in other communities as well.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. Well, that's cool. How about your kids? I mean, let's Let's touch on that. You have adult children. Mine are like,
four between us.
Okay. And mine are like kind of figuring out if they can become adults. Yours are kind of there too. You got one in college.
Right. The other two younger. Yeah.
What about them? Do you ever push your kids to volunteer or like sort of push them into a community? I mean, I know you do.
Yeah, but not.
And then they get in there and they're like, ooh, this is cool. And then they kind of thrive or quit.
Okay, well, like, so a middle child is at a school to where they actually have a certain number of hours that they have to do volunteer-wise. And then I think my son also had...
Which would make me hate volunteers.
Well, yeah, but the thing was, like, me do it. Part, you know, the volunteer for that one is, like, you know, help running a ropes course or a, you know, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, that's fun. And, you know, and it's anywhere from like little kids up to USC students, you know, and, you know, she's 15. So, you know, so I like the fact that the school has that component. I think also like my son's program that he was in, they were supposed to have that component, but because of COVID, it didn't really work out so well. And, you know, like, and even my youngest, she'll volunteer with like, you know, with, we call them the babies, you know, with like the 5-year-old dancers or whatever with their classes. And so I think that as long as it's something that like, it's better to, for, I think is better for your younger kids to show them their ways to volunteer, but also enjoy it and, you know, and help foster a good community. But, you know, it has to be something you're interested in, as opposed to, you know, telling my son, hey, go help out with a ballet class or, you know, like,
it's not gonna go over very
you know, but when he did some, you know, coaching and he was actually, you know, paid for that, I take that back. He never got paid. So technically he was volunteering, right? He was supposed to get paid. But like he did enjoy like, you know, doing some of the coaching aspect and, you know, because it's something that he enjoyed, but you know, like there are things that, you know, there are like associations that I'm never going to give money to because like, I haven't been personally touched by whatever that association is trying to help, you know, or, you know, I that's why I say that, you know, volunteering sometimes, or even, you know, being part of charities, it's not selfless.
Yeah. No,
no. Cause otherwise you wouldn't want to do it.
Right.
So, you know,
you gotta get something out of it.
You're looking for girls.
Should be. Hey,
not now.
If you're young, you're looking for girls, is a good way to do it. Go volunteer.
Yeah, that's true. There's too many jokes I can't talk about.
Well, guys, we started with fish. We ended with volunteering for girls.
Cut all that out from beginning to end. Like you started off this conversation, you know, by proposing talking about community. So you have anything like
The thing that I thought about the most when I was thinking about the whole community thing was just the number of choices that we're presented with nowadays. I don't see how anybody could feel like a society's making them a loner. But then a couple of weeks ago I read the study where like 70% of Americans or some outrageous number say they feel lonely. And I know the whole feeling about feeling lonely in a crowd, but still there's so much opportunity out there, and everybody's not gonna be able to come out of their shell because you tell them to, that it'd be better for them.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's sure.
We are comfortable with what's familiar, not necessarily with what's comfortable.
Yeah, that's true, man. This is fascinating that we are one of the most lonely societies, but yet there's so many of us. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to bring people together. Yeah. Like we did here.
Oh. <All right. laughs> Well, I'm sure we'll hear soon whether this episode worked or not.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you are listening and you want us to check out your community, or you want to tell us anything that you thought we were wrong about, let us know. Hit up the comments. And thanks, guys.
There's no self-will.